This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we will visit with LSU football great Kevin Mawai, who will be inducted into the Hall of Distinction tonight at Louisiana State University. He played 16 seasons in the NFL, 8 times a Pro Bowl selection. Michael Papajohn, LSU baseball star, who was on the 1986 team, the first to go to the College World Series under Skip Bertman for LSU. He, too, will be inducted into the Hall of Distinction tonight. He used to be with us. Mike Papajohn, now a well-known actor in Hollywood. John Price of the mayor's office and Camille Manning Broom, who is involved with the Center for Planning Excellence, will discuss Better Block Baton Rouge, and avid bicyclist Bo Jones, son of Bertram Hayes Jones, former LSU football great, will be with us as well. But first, the news on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. Outside the area, it's 877-217-5757. You may reach us also by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. We begin with two gentlemen who will be inducted into LSU's Hall of Distinction tonight. Earlier in the week, we heard from Larry Jones. He is the alumnus of the year. In keeping the athletic theme for tonight's event, Kevin Mawai, 8-time Pro Bowler from Louisiana State University, probably the most decorated NFL star in the history of the school, and Michael Papajohn, who was on LSU's first World Series team as a baseballer in 1986, and for the last 25 years has been in Hollywood making prominent movies. They're with us in studio. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having us.
And I'm surprised this is the first time you met. Right here in this studio.
Well, we're wearing the same hat. We have a lot in common.
Yeah. Former athletes. One of us went on to do great things in movies. Another one carved out a decent career in professional sports.
Yeah, it was 16 years for you in the NFL, Kevin. 16 years, and of course, head of the Players Association as well. Prominent on and off the field. Looks like you could still play at 42, and you did play a long time.
I had a great career. I was blessed, fortunate in that I didn't have any serious injuries throughout my career. The NFL Players Association part of it was just trying to serve the guys that I played with and played for and serve the game. My goal was to leave the game better than when I found it, and I think I did. As far as looks, that could be deceiving. I can go out and run a couple of miles a day, but that's I'm trying to put on pads and do it again. That's not a desire that I have anymore.
You hit a lot of people over those 16 years, and, of course, you played ball until the NFL as well, I guess, all through childhood.
Yep, I started playing at 8 years old. My dad was stationed in Hanau, Germany. Mm-hmm. He was in the military and Army, and started playing there, moved to Fort Polk, Louisiana, continued on at Leesville, and just something I knew I always wanted to do, and I was fortunate enough to live a dream.
So that's over 30 years of playing football and getting hit and hitting other people. Any problems that you've noted as far as head injuries and that sort of thing?
I've had in concussions. That knocked out once. 4 major concussions that I can remember. My wife would tell you that it's a convenient excuse when I forget what she tells me to do. But from the body perspective, normal issues. I move a little bit slower. Knees a little bothersome. Mm-hmm. Had some shoulder surgeries, elbow surgeries, but as far as the cognitive issues, I don't recognize that I have any issues that some of the guys that you hear about, but you never know. Time will tell, but for me, it was a calculated risk, one that paid off really well for my family and I, and one that, given a choice to do it again, I'd probably do it all over again.
You played center for most of those 16 years in the NFL. That's where you were an All-Pro 8 times.
Yep.
Who were some of the best quarterbacks you performed with?
I played in Seattle. I played with Warren Moon, obviously a Hall of Famer. He was our quarterback the last year I was there. Vinny Testaverde in New York, Chad Pennington with Tennessee Titans, Kerry Collins and Vince Young. I met a number of great quarterbacks. I actually went through the process of trying to list them all, and there's like 20 or 30 something quarterbacks I actually took game snaps with. But And my favorite was Chad Pennington and Vinny Testaverde while I was with the New York Jets. Just two guys that exuded, you know, leadership and professionalism and just knew how to win games.
Must have been real interesting playing in New York City with all the national media and the attention the Jets get in the big city.
Yeah, it's tough because you're under a microscope there. And in New York, they either love you or they hate you. There's no in-between. And then you got the bitter rivalry with the New York Giants. So you have the blue-collar fans and the white-collar mm-hmm. fans. And the Jets tended to have more of the blue-collar guys. But it was a great environment. It was the apex of my career. Fell in love with the place. The fans were incredible. And even to this day, I'll go back to New York and people recognize me on the streets and tell me, welcome home. You know, it makes you feel good about it because they really enjoy their football there and their sports personalities.
Unlike Michael, who we'll hear from in just a moment, you played at LSU on football teams that were not very good. You were there during the lean years. You probably would have been an All-American, and you were an All-SEC choice, but you played for Hudson Curly Hallman. He was a character, wasn't he?
Those were some difficult times. You know, I came in under Mike Archer, and we lost to Vanderbilt in 1990. I think that kind of sealed the deal for Coach Archer. He got fired that year, and you know, Curly was supposed to bring this this whole thing of discipline and that kind of tightened the ship a little bit, and it just didn't go the way everybody would hope. I joke around when I do speaking engagements and talk about LSU football. If you go to the Barnes Noble, get history books mm-hmm. on LSU sports, there's 1800s to 1993, and then there's a gap from 93, well, from a gap from like 89 to 94, and then it picks up in 95 season. So I was at LSU during the black hole of LSU football, and it's kind of funny, but I made it out in mm-hmm. spite of how bad we were.
Now, you're about 6'4", right?
I am, yes.
All right. And I would guess you played around 300 pounds, or maybe even a little less.
I played at my playing weight was 280. I got as high as 305, couldn't handle it.
And as big as that sounds and as immense as you are, and I'm looking at a man who's still, he's not fat, he's just a big man. By NFL standards or even SEC standards today for an offensive lineman, you'd be a small guy.
I am definitely a small guy compared to my line mates. And now the college kids are so big. You know, 300 pounds is a small offensive lineman now. But I found a way to carve out a great career at being an undersized, athletic offensive lineman. And my game was quite different than a lot of the guys, but I made it work for me.
297-5633 if you have a question for Kevin Mawai, 8-time Pro Bowler and 8-time All-Pro selection. And Michael Papajohn, native of Birmingham, who came to LSU to play for Stanley Skip Burtman in the early years of the Burtman era and now has made it big in Hollywood. But he was quite a baseball player in his day. You played with Albert Bell?
Yeah, I was played center field and had the opportunity to play next to Albert.
He was Joey then.
Yeah, it was Joey Bell.
You know, because of his problems that have been well documented, I don't think people appreciate what a great player he was in college, and he's LSU's greatest major league player, no doubt about it.
Oh, to actually be able to play with him and see how hard he actually worked on the field, a lot of people don't realize how much he loved to hit, and just not being, of course, he was a natural hitter, but he also, his work ethic was pretty amazing, and so when I look back at those playing days, you know, you always think about the work and the training and the fundamentals, and it was a pleasure to play with him. And if he's out there, I'd love for him to contact me.
Well, Albert Bell's been on this show before, and is a tormented man to some extent, but he's the only man in major league history. We're talking about major leagues to hit 50 homers and 50 doubles in the same season. And he did it in a strike year. He lost some games in 1995 and still did it. He was an amazing athlete, as you know. And he was on that team in 86 with you that went to the College World Series. And at that time, I think going to the College World Series was more significant than winning a national championship would be today.
Well, you know, it was our first time to ever go in 1986. So, you know, Coach Burtman tried to prepare us by telling us about what to expect, about they're going to give you batting gloves and aluminum bats, and you're going to be treated like you've never been treated before. But it was interesting to go there. We were so good now that I look back, but it was kind of like the Super Bowl syndrome. You kind of had to go – to experience it before he could win it, and to go back the next year, my senior year. And actually what I've learned by going to the College World Series and playing at a high level with that type of pressure, I just pushed right into the entertainment business, and it really helped me out in my career.
Well, and the entertainment business started in a way related to athletics, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, they shot Everybody's All-American with Dennis Quaid in 1988, and they were looking for LSU football players or athletes that weren't eligible anymore to play some of the players for Dennis Quaid's team. And they said, Papa John, I've got picked to be one of those players. They said, hey, Papa John, if you want to take hits or deliver hits, we'll pay you more money. And since I had $11 in my checking account, I said, I'll do that. And then next thing I know, I was doubling Dennis Quaid. And Taylor Hackford, the director, pulled me off the side and said, hey, Papa John, you're athletic, and you're really a good guy. I think you'd be a good Hollywood stuntman. And that's how that was kind of formed. But I had a nice conversation with Skip Bertman before I actually moved to Hollywood, because he knew Andy Garcia and Mickey Rourke, and he's the only guy I knew that would talk about Miami Vice. And I went over and had a one-on-one with Skip, and Skip really encouraged me to do it and go for it.
Well, it's worked out well, and it happened more than a quarter century ago. Michael Papa John was the Dennis Quaid stunt double in Everybody's All-American. He's been in some huge films, and we'll talk about a few of those and some that are out right now or will be soon. But you're best known playing the carjacker who killed Peter Parker's Uncle Ben in Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, I don't tell this story a whole lot. I made a lot of people cry. I cried myself when I watched Spider-Man, and I was going, man. But, I was in a 7-Eleven in Los Angeles, and six high school kids came up to me and go, hey, man, why'd you do it? I got to deal with that during the day. But I go, it's a movie, But I look back on that. A lot of people don't even understand that Skip was a huge he's the reason I had the opportunity to play that character, is because he really more or less put a call into Augie Garrido for Love of the Game when they were casting that movie. And he picked up his bat phone, called Augie for me. I sent a tape to New York, and I got the opportunity to play Sam Tuttle in For Love of the Game. And that's where I actually met Sam Raimi, the director of Spider-Man. So 4 years later, I had the opportunity to play the carjacker because of Stanley Skip Bertman. Someone interviewed me one time and said the Bear Bryant of college baseball,
Well, no doubt about that. What do you think about this year's team? My goodness.
They're so good. It's exciting. I'm already talking about Omaha, and I'm trying to slow down a little bit. Should I book my trip now? And they're so talented, and up the middle, and to see these players make these great defensive players plays, and also see them play as a team. You can tell that they got that energy going right now, and it's exciting. You can feel it in the box when you go there.
William and Thibodeau asks about the role you were playing in For Love of the Game. He says, how was it working with Kevin Costner, who is the pitcher? That's an underrated film, by the way. Very good film.
Yeah, the biggest compliment of For Love of the Game is I've had former major league ball players that I've played college ball with call me up and said, out of every baseball film they've ever seen, it's closest to the truth. And Kevin was you could tell he's athletic, and he could actually throw strikes and throw hard and throw a slider, and he's a really great listener too. And I know Kevin, wanted it to be an R-rated movie because he wanted the dialogue to feel like a major league locker room a little bit more,
kind of like Bull Durham.
A little bit more harder, but I get a lot of compliments on For Love of the Game. I like the flashbacks going back to Kevin's childhood, but Kevin's great, and it's a joy to work with him.
Well, Michael Papa John's been making films ever since, and in 2013, he's in Gangster Squad alongside Sean Penn, James Brolin, Nick Nolte, Ryan Gosling, as well as The Tomb with Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger, and let's talk about that. How was it working with those guys?
Well, every name you mentioned has a story, but you show up and, like Kevin, he's trained. I've trained. I've done my work. I really love what I do. A lot of people ask me, what's it like to be an actor? And I go, I feel like I'm 8 or 9 years old, and it's Halloween, and what am I going to be, a cowboy or an Indian? But when I show up, I think the the things I learned at LSU has been amazing, to show up on a set and, you know, to be with Sean Penn or you mentioned Sylvester Stallone. I just did a movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger, with them, and really go toe-to-toe with them and, you know, admire their career, but know when it's time to work, you know, the cameras roll, we're telling a story, and it's fun, you know.
Well, I don't think Stallone and Schwarzenegger would want to be photographed with Kevin Mawai, because there's Hollywood tough, and then there's the real deal. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, and we rejoin our conversation for a few moments with Kevin Mawai, former LSU football stalwart, and Michael Papajohn, star for Skip Bertman's Bengals back in the mid-'80s and now a star on the silver screen. And in a moment, we'll hear from some folks involved with sprucing up Baton Rouge and making our community a better place. 297-5633 is your number tonight at the Lod Cook Alumni Center. These two gentlemen, Papajohn and Mawai, will be inducted into the LSU Hall of Distinction. Jim Kleinpeter of the New Orleans Times-Picayune and NOLA.com also notes that Kevin's being inducted into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame in Natchitoches in June. And
yeah,
that's quite an honor.
Great honor. I'm excited about it. I get to go in with Shonda Rubin from Lafayette, tennis player, you know, Shaquille O'Neal and Tommy Hodson and others. So having to play with Tommy and being on campus at the same time with Shaq, we were in the same freshman class, it's pretty cool. And then being from Leesville, so close to Northwestern and Natchitoches, it's a great accomplishment. It's a great honor, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it, and it's a privilege to be named among one of the best in the state.
Well, when you were at LSU, he was a big man on campus, wasn't he?
Figuratively and literally. He's the biggest guy I've ever been around, but always a gracious person, always had a great smile and joked around with the guys in Broussard Hall and stuff like that. So
there was a fight, though, once, wasn't there?
There was a fight that people like to bring up. There was a fight between him and one of our football players, and it was a dorm room clearing fight that happened in the basketball wing of Broussard Hall. And I guess some LSU undercover policemen came upon it, and next thing we knew, the basketball team was out, and the football team was out, and Curly and
Dale Brown
squared off in the parking lot, and it was pretty exciting. You know, nothing came out of it, though. Nobody got hurt, and from what I understand, it was over a girl, so got to be careful about those girls around men's dorms.
And I heard that Shaq got the better end of the deal.
I didn't see, don't know. there's some conflicting stories out there, but I do know that you know what I'd heard was Dell Brown was calling for one of our guys to go to jail, and Curly Hallman did stand up for our teammate and said, if my boy goes, your boy goes. And I think it kind of stopped right there.
Yeah, well, as it should. But you got some passion. Coaches are passionate people, as we know.
No doubt.
And they always defend their players, and Curly and Dale were no exception. And Michael Papajohn worked for the master, Skip Bertman. People forget, when Bertman was hired here in 1983. First year was 84. He was born in 1938, so he was pushing 50 years old when he got his first head coaching assignment. This wasn't an overnight development for him, the stratospheric success that he had at LSU.
Well, I remember I played at junior college at Gulf Coast Community College, and we played LSU in the fall, and I remember driving through the campus for the first time in these little white vans. We pull up to the box and playing center field and watching Skip coach LSU, their players, and who he was recruiting back in 85, the fall of 85. And it was homecoming weekend at LSU. There was a rock and roll band behind me, a country band behind me. I could smell the food, and I'm trying to play center field, and I'm watching Skip coach. And I knew right then, I get chill bumps talking about it, I knew at that moment, I want to play here, you know. And I grew up a Bear Bryant fan and the whole SEC and Alabama, and right then that's where I wanted to play.
And Michael was the commencement speaker at the graduation ceremony, last summer?
Yeah, it was in August, last August, and it was a huge honor. I just talked about mentors and coaching and what it meant to me, and Skip was a big part of that. LSU was a big part of that. I wouldn't be in the entertainment business if it wasn't for Louisiana State University. And a lot of times I'm asked to speak and train sales teams, and everything I learned at LSU, it's amazing. Even being from Alabama and then coming to Louisiana, what the South, the authenticity and the teamwork and perseverance and family values is what I passed on to when I'm asked to speak.
And Stephanie inquires about your work now as a filmmaker. You're on the other side of the camera some as well.
Yeah, I actually have two documentaries going. I've always been interested in stories, and just listen to Kevin's story. It intrigues me, people's journey, and I've always got two documentaries that I've been filming for like 10 to 14 years, and it's nice to get ownership in the business too. I'm looking to produce again. I produced a film called Rustin, and getting above the line, and I love being a gun for hire and playing roles, but it's nice to be able to tell your stories.
Well, I'll preface the next question from a listener by noting that Kevin Mawai was named to the NFL 2000s All-Decade Team. He's got a master's degree from Adelphi University. He was head of the NFL Players Association. William asked if you're interested in politics at all.
Look, I did politics in high school as a class officer and a student body officer. Served as a team rep for a number of years and the president. Running for office, public office, is not something that I think God has called me to do, though I'm more than willing to give my opinion. But, the way things are headed now, I would lean more to the far right than most people would be comfortable with. But it's just not something I see in my future. I have opinions. I have high morals and values. But my number one goal is to raise my kids and make a difference in the communities and circles that I'm in.
Well, both of you spend a lot of time in Baton Rouge, don't you?
I moved back home in July. I think talking to Mike, we both moved here about the same time. And for me, it was a desire to be back with my family and friends and get plugged back into our home church here in Baton Rouge be around LSU for the first time in 18 years. I was able to go to every home game, and I was pretty excited about that as well.
And Mike?
Well, listen to Kevin talk. We have so much in common besides wearing the LSU hats this morning. I live a mile from Tiger Stadium, and I went to every game this year and moved my family back here in July. And my wife's from California, so when we were hit with the mosquitoes and the humidity and then the hurricane came, I go, if I can make it through this, this marriage is solid. But she loves it here, and it's so great to be back because the movie business has really shifted to the South too. And my industry has changed so much because you can video submit. You don't have to go in the casting room and meet the director, and then I can always go back to Los Angeles and work. But I live here and plan on living here the rest of my life, and it's like surreal. It doesn't feel real yet.
Yeah. Well, great to visit with you guys, and congratulations on your induction into the LSU Alumni Association Hall of Distinction tonight. And we'll look forward to seeing you this evening and many years down the line. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you very much. Glad
Jim,
to be here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Good to see you. And I did note earlier that Larry Jones is the alumnus of the year, the man who was a player, a coach, an athletic director, and a fundraiser at LSU, and appropriately the alumnus of the year. He'll be honored tonight along with Michael Tipton, our friend from Teach for America, who's the young alumnus of the year. Keith Como is a test conductor and team and flight director for Curiosity, the 2012 entry, descent, and landing on Mars was led by this gentleman who's been on our show. Ronald Marks, a doctor, graduated in chemistry and received his dental training at Loyola, has held appointments at some prominent schools around the country. Carlin Peltz O'Shaughnessy, Brigadier General, Commander, 2nd Battle Command Training Brigade, 75th Battle Command Training Division in Fort Dix. She earned her degree in political science in 79 from LSU. And Kevin Ward, founding member and director of the Virginia Commonwealth University Reanimation Engineering and Science Center. All of them will be honored tonight as members of the Hall of Distinction. And in studio now, prominent lawyer turned mayoral confidant, John Price, along with Camille Manning Broom, who is involved with CPEX, the Center for Planning Excellence, and they're here to talk about Better Block, Baton Rouge. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing well. I've known you in various iterations in your life. How's this one? How's this one working?
So far, it's going very well. Yeah. I've enjoyed my 66 weeks with the City Parish so far.
How in the world did you get a call from Mayor Holden saying, come on down and go to work for me?
Well, at the time, I've known Mayor Holden for many years as well, back towards the LSU days, and have maintained contact with him. But at the time, I was the chairman of the East Baton Rouge Parish Republican Party, and I had spoke to the mayor a couple of times about bond programs, and we had continued that dialogue. And in the midst of that discussion, it broadened, and I thought I could lend some support in some areas, and he had confidence in me and offered me a job.
So have you switched parties?
No, I am still a registered Republican and proud of it.
Well, I want you to start, and then we'll hear from Camille, who's the Director of Planning for the Center for Planning Excellence. What about Better Block Baton Rouge?
The Better Block Baton Rouge project, which will be held Saturday and Sunday on Government Street between Bedford and Beverly, is it's basically a demonstration, a living demonstration project. I don't have to tell you, you've been around Baton Rouge for a long time, so you know how many opinions and ideas that people have had about Government Street over the decades. And this is going to be an actual demonstration project that will allow us to take the four lanes of Government Street, bring it down to three lanes, one in each direction with a turn lane, and try to experience what that would be like from a traffic transportation standpoint. But more importantly, it's about creating place. And as any great cities have great streets and places, but most of those are defined by slowing the traffic down. And so we are going to slow the traffic down on Government Street in a two-block area and try to create place. So we'll have pop-up businesses and sidewalks, bicycle lanes, all of the things that make a city more livable. And we will let people experience that, and hopefully it will be a good experience.
It's a two-day demonstration project on Government Street, and this is the baby of the Center for Planning Excellence, and the planning director is also in studio, Camille Manning-Broom. What's your impression about this?
It's been a wonderful community effort where for the first time the community's been able to come together with government officials and nonprofits and different organizations to create a design on how they would like to see the future of their community and how it reflects the values of what they care about. So we held a public meeting and over 200 people showed up. We gauged what people wanted in the community and what people didn't want, and so we created a design based on that. We've had over 300 volunteers. Mm-hmm. We have 28 pop-up businesses. We've had sponsors and people donating money, resources towards public arts and materials for us to demonstrate this project. So it's been very accepted by the community.
Why was Government Street chosen as the lab for this project?
Government Street was chosen because the mid-city area has been defined in the future BR plan as being a strategic area for progress and growth over the next 15 to 20 years. And Government Street has also been problematic from the standpoint of transportation and aesthetic value. But there are strong neighborhoods and communities that border along Government Street. It's obviously a state highway and a major arterial that people utilize to get from east and west across the city. So the mid-city area is denoted in the future BR plan as a strategic area, and this plan falls within the future BR implementation program that we've instituted. So it's a priority item under future BR.
And you're looking for community involvement, aren't you?
Absolutely. This is a community exercise, a community demonstration. People are out on Government Street right now. Welcome to stop by. We are painting bike lanes, and it's not just John and I out there and our teams, but individuals that live in Mid-City.
Well, it's a two-day demonstration project, Saturday and Sunday. So this is going to go on all day?
From 10 to 5.
10 to 5, both days. Mm-hmm. And we've got a whole lot going on in our city this weekend. I'm sure you're looking for folks to stop by somewhere along Government Street. Mm-hmm. It runs from one end to the other?
From Beverly to Bedford. So as you reach South Acadian, the first thing you'll see on the pawn shop on the corner of Acadian and Government, Baton Rouge Walls is doing a mural.
I've seen that. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing sight. It hasn't been talked about a whole lot either.
Well, the beginnings of it are occurring right now. And then when you hit the corner of Beverly, there are two vacant buildings where we've done a community exercise, Before I Die. You can go walk out on the wall. Phil Brady's will have a beer garden. So you could come and sit outside in a lush green space, enjoy a beer.
So really we're talking about that area around the Westmoreland shopping
center. Westmoreland, Ogden Park.
It is on both sides of Government Street. Of course, Westmoreland Shopping Center, that land is now owned by alumni from Catholic High. Catholic High is doing their own planning with regard to what they will do with that expanse. They have been at the table with us throughout the entire process. Gene Tullier has been in all of our discussions, and they have been a willing and welcome partner with us, along with countless others. We have our traffic engineer who has and Stantec have designed the roadway from the standpoint of what one possible design might be for that area. But again, it's about place. It is not, we're not putting on a block party. It's the mayor's initiative, and we're going
forward. You want to transfer this all over the city?
Well, you know, certainly everything is limited to some extent by what you can afford to do, but we believe that there are certainly critical areas along Government Street that might be able to be transformed in the not-so-distant future. This is a possible design. We believe that the success of the program, actually in the project, will be the starting point creating here and a dialogue to go forward as to how we might be able to change Government Street in this area or in other areas. And we believe that if the Better Block program is successful here, however you measure success, we can also replicate that in other areas. And certainly in the future BR plan, it calls for North Baton Rouge and then Old South Baton Rouge.
And this is a demonstration of complete streets, which is a high priority in the future BR plan. So that would be a program and policies adopted to ensure that future roadways, when constructed or when major improvements occurred, accounted for pedestrians, cyclists, all modes of transportation.
Our next guest, Bo Jones, will talk about cycling and Baton Rouge for many years, and on this show has been chided for its lack of cycling accessibility. Is that improving, or is it still a big challenge in this community?
Well, it is always a challenge, but it certainly is improving. I can point to, certainly under Mayor Holden, we've had an avalanche of progress with regard to biking opportunities. And in the last 2 years, let's say, additional levee mileage has been opened up, and there are plans for more, which will ultimately be able to take you from the state capitol complex just about down to the end of the parish line. We've had discussions with, I've met with Kristen Palmer out of New Orleans with regard to completing the levee bike path all the way from Baton Rouge to New Orleans. Davis Rohr at the Downtown Development District has is underway with the Downtown Greenway, which is going to be a wonderful bike path that will lead from the Capitol Lake Parks all the way down to City Park. And then Breck has also begun their pathways out along the creeks, and that's an interesting project, too.
Well, good luck tomorrow and Sunday on Government Street between Bedford and Beverly. John Price and Camille Manning Broom. You can find out much more about this if you'd like to. BetterBlockBR.org. BetterBlockBR, one word, .org. 10 to 5 Saturday and Sunday. Thank you, Camille.
Thank you,
John. And congratulations.
Mayor's bike ride is also on Saturday coming through the Better Block. So I think Bo's going to talk about that.
Okay. We will talk with Bo Jones when we return. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. And we're joined now by attorney Bo Jones. Good morning, Bo.
Good morning, Jim.
From a famous family here in Louisiana, certainly in Baton Rouge.
Or infamous.
Yeah, well, the son of Burt Jones, NFL Most Valuable Player, 1976. The man who threw the 10-yard scoring pass to Brad Davis on November 4th, 1972, as LSU beat Ole Miss. Last second, 1716. You weren't born then, were you?
I was not born at that time.
No. When were you born?
I was born in 1985.
So you were born after your dad's career was all over?
I was born after the broken neck and after all the injuries had set in after they moved back to Louisiana. So.
Well, at one point, I remember around 1990, the Chargers were trying to get him to come back.
That's right. He trained, and I remember when we were little kids, he ran the New York Marathon for training and was throwing every day up at Louisiana Tech at Grambling. And when I was a little kid, I had the San Diego Chargers playbook, and I always thought that was a lot of fun. But he never made it. He decided he was too old at the end.
Well, I think he probably could have played. And the way technology is now, even though he broke his neck in his last sojourn as a NFL player with the Rams, he healed and his neck was fine to play, wasn't it?
9 out of 10 doctors told him that he could play. The one who didn't was the one who did the surgery, but that's not what stopped him. He just decided to move on.
You grew up in Ruston?
I grew up in Ruston, absolutely.
And went to Davidson, right?
I went to Davidson College in North Carolina and then back here for law school at LSU.
And you played some ball, too?
Played a little bit of football, and you know, that's where the biking came in as a little bit of therapy for me to get away from the hits and all that.
Well, I see your Uncle Ben, another former LSU football star. I see him out on his bike, and I think Ben's about to be 60 years old. He looks like he could still play ball.
He still runs 12 100-yard sprints every other day.
Yeah, he's in great shape. He's in fantastic shape. Fortunately for him, he didn't have the injuries that
Absolutely.
A lot of football players do. But biking is one of those things that is it's about as good as swimming. It really is a good workout, isn't it? And
Absolutely.
It's safe. It's better on the joints.
Yeah, it's safe on the joints. It's low impact, and it's a lot of fun. You know, and that's one of the things. You mentioned that I grew up in a small town up in Ruston. And as a kid growing up in Ruston, it was kind of a little bit of freedom that you may not have in a big city. I had a bike, and I could go anywhere that I wanted to, any dirt road, any street that I could find. And so, you know, being able to do that now in Baton Rouge, riding, you know, you and I live close to each other, and being able to ride downtown to the Attorney General's office, 3 miles, it's nice. It's a nice little, bring me back to my childhood days.
You ride to work?
Yeah, most days. So.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll be 297-5633 or 877-217-5757 for Bo Jones, who's a lawyer, works with Attorney General Buddy Caldwell. I wonder if he rides his bike to work.
Well, you know, actually, that's one of the things that we're doing next week is the Bike to Work Week, and the Department of Justice has really stepped up to the plate, and the Attorney General's office has encouraged all of our employees to ride. We're going to do a big group ride on the 19th. Mm-hmm. I know the several people in the Civil Division are going to be riding, and I don't know if the AG is going to be there. I'm sure he's pretty busy, but there will be a lot of employees riding.
And he was an impressive athlete in his day, but his day was a few years ago. But you heard John Price and Camille Manning Broome. You're involved to some extent in the event that they're staging.
Yeah, I'm a board member with Bike Baton Rouge, which is a nonprofit bike advocacy organization here in town, and we are in full support of the Better Block program. I wouldn't say that we take any credit for it. We are just happy to take part in it. You asked the question of John as. How is biking, what is the status of biking in Baton Rouge right now? And, you know, it's exciting right now. I mean, there's no question that there are significant infrastructure problems in Baton Rouge, and it's a very large city with a big interstate, two interstates going through it, sometimes going down to one lane. But, you know, there's this very tangible excitement around the biking community and people, realizing that it gives them a little bit of freedom. And we're not talking about, riding 15 miles from Prairieville to downtown. But, things like if you live in the Garden District, going and hopping over to the Garden District coffee house or just, 1 mile, 2 miles, something, I'm sure you could hop on and ride over to Louis every morning and it'd be a nice little ride. And so that's what we're trying to encourage people to do, and just get out, see the city in a different way. And, one opportunity that John mentioned was on Saturday morning, the mayor's bike ride is going to start at B'nai Israel at 9:30, ride to the Better Block program. From there, we're going to ride on down to the Blues Festival, have a bike corral, free bike parking there. So it's going to be there's a lot of fun events, but it's really part of, much bigger excitement around the biking community.
297-5633 for Bo Jones on WRKF. Lynn and Melrose. Hi, Lynn. You're on with Bo.
Good morning, Jim, and my friend Bo. It's good to hear your voice. I don't have a particular question, but I'm very proud of what you're doing for the city and for pedestrian-friendly Baton Rouge. And I wish you the best. The weather's good. I wish I could still get my leg over my old trek and join you all, but that won't happen. But maybe we'll be out there. I'll see you out there.
Well, thanks for the call, Lynn. And we're working on getting you, a bike that you can step over so you can come join around and ride with us. But, Lynn actually does his work on his blog from a little desk chair that's an exercise bike. So if you walk in, if you want to know where Lynn rides from, it's a little exercise bike with a computer on top of it.
Well, some folks, as we talked a bit before with our previous guests, they might be dissuaded from bike riding in Baton Rouge. It's not the most friendly bike city, and it's sometimes dangerous.
You know, cycling is absolutely dangerous at times, but that's what we're trying to do is make it safer. And we're trying to, cars and bikes alike. I mean, one of the things the Attorney General's office has been pushing is, recognizing the bike safety laws, give a safe distance to pass, at least 3 feet. If you come up on a biker from the back, you slow down, give them some room. And as a biker, I no more want to be in front of in a hurry, big 2,000-pound piece of metal than you want to be behind a slow driver. So, we're natural friends. We should all get along, try and find a way that we can have some dedicated bike paths in the city. And, Mayor Holden has stepped up to the plate, and he is really helping and trying to do as much as he can. But we want to encourage all players to kind of, get more bike lanes, get more dedicated bike paths that we can have some safe ways to get around the city.
Did I hear John Price right that the mayor is going to actually be riding a bike?
The mayor and his wife will be riding a bike on 9:30 on Saturday morning, and we'll have a bunch of people out there joining them. So it should be a fun event, and this weekend it's going to be a lot of exciting things going on.
How many miles a week do you generally ride?
Oh, not much. It's not about miles. I mean, I usually ride 3 miles.
If you ride to work and back.
It's 3 miles one way. And
3 miles the other, I guess.
Every once in a while, I'll get a long ride in. But it's not really – for me, it's not about fitness. I run away from fitness, and, I try and stay out of the weight room. But it's just a nice morning ride. You get to see people. And it's one of my favorite parts about riding bikes in the morning is, if there's somebody walking down the sidewalk on Park Boulevard, rather than a honk or just a blinker, I can stop, I can talk, I can, exchange a hello to them. And that's something that you don't get to do in a car. And so it's just a nice experience to get around the town on bikes.
Well, Bo Jones, avid bike rider, what kind of bike do you have?
I have a lot. I just, I have a somewhat of an addiction, I guess, but with bikes, I just bought a 1986 Bridgestone steel frame.
Really?
Bike. So that's what I've been riding on. It's almost as old as me, but it's a it's a beautiful bike and it's a lot of fun to ride. So
1986 Bridgestone. What'd that cost you?
$275.
That's not bad.
Not
certainly
bad at
more
all.
Economical than going out and buying a car.
And, that's one of the things is, biking can save you some money, but also there's some great opportunities to get some inexpensive bikes. I know the Baton Rouge Police Department finds abandoned bikes and stolen bikes, and there's an auction going on right now. If you go to the city's website, to the police department's website, you can buy bikes for $25. That may be a great bike and give you an opportunity to get out there and ride around your neighborhood, ride to the coffee shop, things like that.
Yeah, we have a message from Greg Berry. He says the city of Baton Rouge is auctioning 24 lots of bicycles in an online auction that ends April the 22nd.
Absolutely. That's a great opportunity to get in inexpensively. A lot of people say, well, I don't have a bike. I don't want to drop $6,000 on a, Trek Madone that Lance Armstrong drives. Get in on an easy bike on an old cruiser, and it doesn't take a lot of money. And it's a great way to see the city. It's a great way to save money. It's a great way to get a little bit healthier.
So. Were you a fan of Lance Armstrong when he was conquering the world?
I guess I shouldn't have said his name. I accidentally said that. But, I think everybody was a fan. Everybody was excited to see cycling go to the forefront of the American sports world. And that's a really tough issue with Lance. And it's a sad issue all around. But at the time, I think everybody was a fan. Everybody wanted to see people do well. And obviously the fall from grace is unfortunate. But I would love to see somebody else. Taylor Finney could jump up there and make some waves in the tour. So,
well, biking is one of those things you can do it for pleasure or you can do it for competition.
Absolutely,
if you so desire. Have you ever competed?
I have. We did last week, a group of us went and did the Rouge Roubaix, which is one of the top 10, they say one of the top 10 hardest races in the world. And it is a race up in St. Francisville, Louisiana, 104 miles, goes up around Woodville, Mississippi, and back down. Now, I would not call it racing. I was riding to survive. But it was a competition, mm-hmm. and a lot of folks from Baton Rouge. There's several competitive teams here in town. LSU has a great cycling team. So if competition is what you're after, there are several opportunities here in Baton Rouge.
297-5633 for Bo Jones. Stephen in Central Highlands. Stephen, you're on the air with Bo.
Good morning, Jim. Bo, what's the status of linking up neighborhoods, let's say along Highland Road, so that people can bike from neighborhood to neighborhood, kind of like how you could do between Woodstone and University Acres? They have that little pathway.
Well, you know, one of the things that we've been doing with Bike Baton Rouge is we put together a map that you can find on our website at bikebr.org. We put together a map where you can use existing bikeways, you can use existing roads to go essentially from the levee all the way to the Highland Road Observatory. That's one of the things that we're really trying to push. This doesn't take, building a superhighway of bikes 25 feet over the ground. I mean, there are existing ways that, draw a little bike guy on a neighborhood road and advertise it and tell people how to find directions from that. You know, we try and publicize the best routes. One thing that we're working on is a bike atlas where experienced cyclists can ride, use a GPS to say where they have ridden. You know, so if I want to go from City Park to downtown, you can see where I've ridden, and the line on the map will grow brighter as the cyclists ride it more and more often. So a new rider can come in and say, well, hey, I want to ride from A to B. How do I get there? You can pull up the bike atlas and see where the more experienced cyclists are riding. Also, if anybody wants to contact us, bikebatonrouge@gmail.com. We love a good challenge. I have been stumped once before. There's a guy down on Highland that I could not figure out a way out of his neighborhood without riding on Highland Road. But we love a good challenge. So if you've got a route that you want us to figure out, we will be happy to help.
297-5633, still time to get in under the wire with Bo Jones, avid cyclist, and he's a board member with Bike BR. You noted the website, bikebr.org. How extensive is the cycling community in Baton Rouge?
Well, the cycling community is actually quite massive here. It's, at times a little disjointed, but we have numerous groups. There are rides every night of the week in Baton Rouge. We've got the Baton Rouge Bike Club, which I believe was started by the famed Fonville Winans back in the 60s and is still going strong as both a riding organization and helping out in the advocacy world. There's the Rolling with Punchers ride on Wednesday nights that leaves from City Park. There's the LSU Cycling Club. There's the Go Race team. There's the Raising Canes racing team. There's the Monday Night Metro Madness. There are groups every night. We have a bike calendar on our website if you want to find an easy ride. There are this weekend and next weekend, there are short training rides over the weekend for the Tour de Cafe. You ride from coffee shop to coffee shop. So there are tons of opportunities, and there are a lot of individuals involved.
Bo Jones. Now, his grandfather was the second player taken in the 1946 NFL draft by the Chicago Cardinals. And his grandfather would be 90 years old this year, I believe.
Will he be 90?
I think he's 90.
He doesn't look a day over 60 right now.
That's Dub Jones, who's still in the NFL record book, 6 touchdowns in one game. And his father, Burt Jones, a 1973 second player taken in the NFL draft, 27 years after his dad was the number 2 player taken in the draft. I suspect there was an expectation along the way that you would play football.
If there was, it was put on by me. I can tell you one thing is that, my parents and grandparents never pushed anything. I wanted to play football because I lived in Ruston, Louisiana, and that's all you do. I think I heard over the news that Don Shiles had a stroke this week, and that is terrible news. I hope he goes on to a speedy recovery. But growing up in Ruston, Louisiana, you played football, and there was no pressure. I can remember I told my dad when I was in junior high that I was going to quit, and he said, "That's great. What are you going to do?" And then I realized I didn't have anything else to do, so I kept playing.
Well, and you ended up being a lawyer.
Absolutely.
But, David in St. Francisville says, how in the heck did Burt Jones' son end up at Davidson?
A lot of luck and a little bit of help from some football coaches getting me there.
Well, Davidson's a great school. In fact, it produced the head of the Baton Rouge Area Chamber, Adam Knapp.
But absolutely.
Had a great basketball program at one time, but you came back and did your law school at LSU.
I came back and, you know, wanted to move back to Louisiana. I've always had a passion for the state and have always wanted to come back, and it was great to get out, but this is an exciting place to be. You know, Louisiana has all the culture in the world, all the sports in the world, all the, you know, everything that we need. So it's a great place to be.
Here's a question from Tracy at the Capitol. Wants to know what happened to your uncle Bill, the former state senator. He's now.
Yeah, Bill.
In Ruston,
Bill was actually the reason I became a lawyer. Bill got out of law school, graduated number one of his class, went and worked for one of the biggest law firms in Texas, quit 3 years later to become a cowboy. He and my dad then started a lumber business. For 25 years, he did that. Then he became a senator, and 30 years after he was got his law degree, he's a lawyer again up in Ruston, Louisiana. So
and he was your dad's agent too.
Absolutely was.
And Bo Jones doing well, and at the age of you're 28 yet?
27.
Almost 28, right? Okay. So I might see his name on a ballot at some time.
Let's hope not, like his
Uncle Bill. Well, thank you, and good luck with Bike BR. And you can go to bikebr.org to find much more about Bo and his crew. And until Monday, for Kevin Gallagher, I'm Jim Engster. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at wrkf.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.